Hello, greetings to you. I'm Mac Tomlinson, the author of the book, In Light of Eternity, The Life of Leonard Ravenhill. And we're happy to announce that a new second edition of the biography on Leonard Ravenhill's life is being prepared for publication.
The man that wrote that hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. The man that hit the thing right dead in the middle when he said, vile and full of sin I am, that thou art full of truth and grace, precious grace with thee is found, grace to cleanse from all my sin. Let the healing stream of thou make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart and rise to all eternity. He said, foul, I to that fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. And I would rather see two people come to an altar who say, look, God Almighty, unless you save me, I'll die. Save me now. And a bunch of people that just come and say, I think I ought to be a bit better, you know, and I've a few little habits the Lord needs to iron out, and I'm not just as nice as I should be, and I can be a bit of a devil when the pastor isn't around or something. But when a man gets to the place where he says, there's something in me which is literally killing me, foul, I to that fountain fly. Wash me, Savior.
The reason I even wrote the book is because of the value and the power of Leonard Ravenhill's life. I first heard Leonard Ravenhill preach in Fort Worth, Texas in the fall of 1977, and I was absolutely shocked. I was in no way prepared for what I was going to hear. I had never heard his name when a friend invited me to come to a Baptist church near the school I was attending. And I went, and I had never heard any preaching like it. It was like hearing John the Baptist. It was like hearing one of the Old Testament prophets. He didn't preach expositional sermons. He preached more topical sermons that were focused on particular themes. The holiness of God. The greatness of God. A true life of prayer, brokenness, humility, the burden of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, true evangelism. He would preach on these themes with great passion and great zeal and energy. But he was so eloquent that hymns would flow, scriptures would flow. He hardly preached with any notes. But he would preach out of the overflow of his study and his prayer life, and his messages would just come with such power and deep conviction that you were just gripped, you were shaken, you were torn apart in a good way. And I remember hearing him that first week, all the fleshiness, the carnality, the motives for ego and pride in preaching all began to be exposed in my heart. And I was just crushed. I heard for the first time true spirit-anointed preaching that searched the heart and that stripped you bare before God and made you to face really what you were like. It made me start all over again. And my motives of wanting to be somebody great or to be a great, well-known preacher were exposed, and I saw them for what they were. They were fleshly, egocentric motives that they became distasteful to me. And at the same time, I saw what true preaching was. I saw how central the glory and honor of Christ was, and that this should drive our motives. This should control our heart. And so hearing Ravenhill became a watershed for me. After hearing him that first week, I was never the same again. I heard him in the same church 6 months later, and this time I heard him twice as often because he preached at noon to the church and he preached in the evening to the church. And I went every time. I began to read all his books, and I began to listen to him more closely in private conversations. This ultimately led to, in 1980, he moved to Lindale. Well, he had moved a year earlier in 1979. But in 1980, I got a letter from him. And the letter simply read, "Mac, I've begun a Friday night prayer meeting. Please come. Leonard Ravenhill." That was the whole letter. And so Linda and I decided every Friday we would drive 2 hours to Lindale, Texas, from where we lived in Denton, Texas, north of Dallas, to the prayer meeting. We were so hungry to be taught by him. We were so hungry to learn to truly pray. We were in our 20s. We didn't have children at the time, so every Friday we drove. When we began to have children, we continued driving. One child, 2 children, 3 children, 4 children. Within the years, we were still going to Lindale. We had babysitters at times, but we would not give up going to Leonard Ravenhill's prayer meeting, which lasted 3 hours usually. We would sing for an hour. Leonard would preach for an hour, and we would pray for an hour. And it was as if time stood still. Those prayer meetings shaped my life and ministry in ways that I can't even describe. As we continued to have more children and more ministry responsibility, the frequency of our going to the prayer meetings decreased. And as Leonard Ravenhill's health problems increased, his ability to have those prayer meetings decreased as well. But we stayed in touch. And by this time, into the 90s, he had written 7 books, most all on prayer, revival, holiness. Some of them were collections of Bible characters. But every one of his books is worth reading. And as he approached the 1990s, his health had declined significantly, but he was still praying hours a day. He couldn't preach as much. He couldn't travel as much. But he would welcome well-known preachers from all over the world who were famous. They would come to Leonard Ravenhill for encouragement, for private counsel, and he would receive them in his home. And his life continued to have an international impact, even though he was limited more to his home. But right to the end, he would pray 2 hours in the middle of the night. He would pray 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, write many letters to encourage people. And he kept a prayer list with probably 200 names of preachers that he loved, Christians that he loved. And he prayed for those people every single day for at least 30 years. So, in light of eternity, the book covers all of this. Leonard's early calling, how God shaped him to be a man of prayer and to be a preacher. His early years of 28 years in Britain, a powerful ministry. His 36 years of ministry in America and around the world, where his life and his message and the power of his preaching impacted a whole generation. Thousands of Christians, hundreds of churches, thousands of preachers were impacted by him, and now a whole new generation who were not alive or were very young when Leonard was alive have now been impacted by his sermons on the internet. And continue to be so. His books continue to have a wide reading. And so he, being dead, is still speaking. And Ravenhill's message needs to be heard. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. He was a prophet. He was a pastor to pastors. And he loved people. He loved especially younger Christians who were serious-minded to influence them for godliness and for serious-minded Christianity. He was one of a kind. A.W. Tozier was close friends with Leonard Ravenhill, and he said, there's none like Leonard Ravenhill. You either love him or you hate him, but you cannot be neutral toward Ravenhill's life. One of my favorite quotes of Ravenhill, and he had many, is this: the greatest miracle God can do, the greatest miracle, is when God takes an unholy man out of an unholy world, makes him holy, puts him back into an unholy world, and keeps him holy to live as a bright and shining light for Jesus Christ. That's the greatest miracle Leonard Ravenhill believed could happen. Regeneration and conversion, transferring a wicked sinner into a fragrant life. And that's what Leonard had, a fragrant life.